This said, the noble infant stood a space, confused, speechless, senseless, ill-ashamed. But when this shame to just disdain gave place, to fierce disdain, from courage sprung untamed, another redness blushed through his face, whence worthy anger shone, displeasure flamed. His nice attire in scorn he rent and tore, for of his bondage vile that witness bore. That done, he hasted from the charmed fort, and through the maze passed with his searchers twain. Armida of her mount and chiefest port wondered to find the furious keeper slain. A while she feared, but she knew, in short, that her dear lord was fled. Then saw she plain. Ah, woeful sight! How from her gates the man, in haste, in fear, in wrath, in anger, ran! "Whither, O cruel, leav'st thou me alone?" she would have cried. Her grief her speeches stayed, so that her woeful words are backward gone, and in her heart a bitter echo made. Poor soul, of greater skill than she was one, whose knowledge from her thus her joy conveyed. This wist she well, yet had desire to prove, if art could keep, if charms recall her love. All what the witches of Thessalia land, with lips unpure, yet ever said or spake, words that could make heaven's rolling circles stand, and draw the damned ghosts from Limbo Lake, all well she knew, but yet no time she fanned to use her knowledge or her charms to make. But left her arts, and forth she ran to prove if single beauty were best charm for love. She ran, nor of her honour took regard. Oh, where be all her vaunts and triumphs now? Love's empire great of late she made or marred. To her his subjects humbly bend and bow. To her his subjects humbly bend and bow, and with her pride mixed was a scorn so hard that to be loved she loved, yet whilst she she ran, nor of her honour took regard. Oh, where be all her vaunts and triumphs now? Love's empire great of late she made or marred. To her his subjects humbly bend and bow, and with her pride mixed was a scorn so hard that to be loved she loved, yet whilst they woo her lovers all she hates. That pleased her will to conquer men, and conquered so to kill. But now herself disdained, abandoned, ran after him, that from her fled in scorn, and her despised beauty labored with humble plaints and prayers to adorn. She ran and hasted after him that fled, through frost and snow, through briar, bush, and thorn, and set her cries on message her before, that reached not him till he had reached the shore. "O thou that leav'st but half behind," quoth she, "of my poor heart, and half with thee dost carry. Oh, take this part, or render that to me, else kill them both at once. Ah, tarry, tarry, hear my last words. No parting kiss of thee I crave, for some more fit with thee to marry. Keep them unkind. What fear'st thou if thou stay? Thou mayst deny as well as run away." At this Rinaldo stopped, stood still, and stayed. She came, sad, breathless, weary, faint, and weak. So woe-begone was never nymph or maid, and yet her beauty's pride grief could not break. On him she looked, she gazed, but naught she said. She would not, could not, or she durst not speak. At her he looked not, glanced not. If he did, those glances shamefaced were, close, secret, hid. As cunning singers, ere they strain on high in loud melodious tunes their gentle voice, prepare the hearer's ears to harmony with feignings sweet, low notes and warbles choice. So she, not having yet forgot Pardee, her wonted shifts and sleights in Cupid's toys, a sequence first of sighs and sobs forthcast, to breed compassion dear. Then spake at last, "Suppose not cruel that I come to vow or pray, as ladies do their loves and lords. Such were we late, if thou disdain it now, or scorn to grant such grace as love affords. At least, yet as an enemy listen thou. Sworn foes sometimes will talk and chaffer words. For what I ask thee mayst thou grant right well, and lessen not thy wrath and anger fell. If me thou hate, and in that hate delight, I come not to appease thee. Hate me still. It's like for like. I bore great hate and spite gainst Christians all. Chiefly I wished thee ill. I was a pagan born, and all my might gainst Godfredo bent, mine art and skill. I followed thee, took thee, and bore thee far to this strange isle, and kept thee safe from war. And more, which more thy hate may justly move, more to thy loss, more to thy shame and grief, I thee enchanted and allured to love. Wicked deceit, craft worthy sharp reprieve. Mine honour gave I thee, all gifts above, and of my beauties made thee lord and chief. And to my suitors old, what I denied, that gave I thee, my lover new, unprayed. But reckon that among my faults, and let those many wrongs provoke thee so to wrath, that hence thou run, and that at naught thou set this pleasant house, so many joys which hath. Go, travel, pass the seas, fight, conquest get, destroy our faith. What shall I say, our faith? Ah, no, no longer ours. Before thy shrine alone I pray, thou cruel saint of mine. All, only let me go with thee, unkind. A small request, although I were thy foe. The spoiler seldom leaves his prey behind, who triumphs lets his captives with him go. Among thy prisoners poor Armida bind, and let the camp increase thy praises so, that thy beguiler so thou couldst beguile, and point at me thy thrall and bondslave vile. Despise it, bondslave, since my lord doth hate these locks. Why keep I them, or hold them dear? Come, cut them off, that to my servile state my habit answer may, and all my gear. I follow thee, in spite of death and fate, through battles fierce where dangers most appear. Courage I have, and strength enough, perchance, to lead thy courser spare, or bear thy lance. I will or bear, or be myself thy shield, and to defend thy life will lose mine own. This breast, this bosom soft, shall be thy shield gainst storms of arrows, darts, and weapons thrown. Thy foes, Pardee, encountering thee in field, will spare to strike thee, mine affection known, lest me they wound, nor will sharp vengeance take on thee, for this despised beauty's sake. O wretch! Dare I still vaunt or help invoke from this poor beauty scorned and disdained? She said no more. Her tears, her speeches broke, which from her eyes like streams from springs down rained. She would have caught him by the hand or cloak, but he stepped backward and himself restrained. Conquered his will, his heart ruth softened not. Their plaints no issue, love no entrance got. Love entered not to kindle in his breast, which reason late had quenched, his wonted flame. Yet entered pity in the place at least, Love's sister, but a chaste and sober dame, and stirred him so that hardly he suppressed the springing tears that to his eyes upcame. But yet even there his plaints repressed were, and as he could, he looked and feigned cheer.
"Madam," quoth he, "for your distress I grieve, and would amend it if I might or could. From your wise heart that fond affection drive. I cannot hate nor scorn you, though I would. I seek no vengeance, wrongs I all forgive, nor you my servant nor my foe I hold. Truth is, you erred, and your estate forgot. Too great your hate was, and your love too hot. But those are common faults, and faults of kind excused by nature, by your sex and years. I erred likewise. If I pardon find, none can condemn you, that our trespass hears. Your dear remembrance will I keep in mind, in joys, in woes, in comforts, hopes, and fears. Call me your soldier and your knight, as far as Christian faith permits, and Asia's war. Ah, let our faults and follies here take end, and let our errors past you satisfy. And in this angle of the world append, let both the fame and shame thereof now die. From all the earth, where I am known and kenned, I wish this fact should still concealed lie. Nor yet in following me, poor knight, disgrace your worth, your beauty, and your princely race. Stay here in peace. I go, nor wend you may with me. My guide your fellowship denies. Stay here, or hence depart some better way, and calm your thoughts. You are both sage and wise. While thus he spoke, her passions found no stay, but here and there she turned and rolled her eyes, and staring on his face a while, at last, thus in foul terms, her bitter wrath forth brast. Of Sophia fair thou never wert the child, nor of the Azane race sprung thou art. The mad sea waves thee hair, some tigress wild on... Of Sophia fair thou never wert the child, nor of the Azane race sprung thou art. The mad sea waves thee bear, some tigress wild on Caucasus' cold crags nursed thee apart. Ah, cruel man, in whom no token mild appears of pity, ruth, or tender heart! Could not my griefs, my woes, my plaints, and all, one sigh strain from thy breast, one tear make fall? What shall I say, or how renew my speech? He scorns me, leaves me, bids me call him mine. The victor hath his foe within his reach, yet pardons her that merits death and pine. Hear how he counsels me, how he can preach, like chaste Xenocrates, gainst love divine. O heavens, O gods! Why do these men of shame thus spoil your temples and blaspheme your name? Go, cruel, go! Go with such peace, such rest, such joy, such comfort as thou leavest me here. My angry soul, discharged from this weak breast, shall haunt thee ever and attend thee near, and fury-like in snakes and firebrands dressed shall I torment thee, whom it late held dear. And if thou scape the seas, the rocks, and sands, and come to fight among the pagan bands, there lying wounded amongst the hurt and slain, of these my wrongs thou shalt the vengeance bear, and oft, Armida, shalt thou call in vain at thy last gasp. This hope I soon to hear. Here fainted she, with sorrow, grief, and pain. Her latest words scant well expressed were, but in a swoon on earth outstretched she lies. Stiff were her frozen limbs, closed were her eyes. Thou closed thine eyes, Armida. Heaven envied ease to thy grief or comfort to thy woe. Ah, open then again. See tears down slide from his kind eyes, whom thou esteem'st thy foe. If thou hadst heard, his sighs had mollified thine anger. Hard he sighed and mourned so, and as he could, with sad and rueful look, his leave of thee and last farewell he took. What should he do? Leave on the naked sand this woeful lady, half alive, half dead? Kindness forbade, pity did that withstand. But hard constraint, alas, did thence him lead. Away he went. The west wind blew from land amongst the rich tresses of their pilot's head, and with that golden sail the waves she cleft. To land he looked, till land unseen he left. Waked from her trance, forsaken, speechless, sad, Armida wildly stared and gazed about. "And is he gone?" quoth she. "Nor pity had to leave me thus, twixt life and death in doubt? Could he not stay? Could not the traitor lad from this last trance help or recall me out? And do I love him still? And on this sand, still unrevenged, still mourn, still weeping stand? Fie, no! Complaints farewell! With arms and arts I will pursue to death this spiteful knight. Not earth's low center, nor sea's deepest part, not heaven nor hell can shield him from my might. I will o'ertake him, take him, cleave his heart! Such vengeance fits a wronged lover's spite. In cruelty that cruel knight surpass, I will. But what avail vain words, alas? O fool, thou shouldst have been cruel then, for then this cruel well deserved thine ire. When thou in prison hadst entrapped the man, now dead with cold, too late thou askest fire. Though my wit, my cunning, nothing can, some other means shall work my heart's desire. To thee, my beauty, thine be all these wrongs. Vengeance to thee? To thee revenge belongs. Thou shalt be his reward, with murdering brand, that dare this traitor of his head deprive. O, you, my lovers, on this rock doth stand the castle of her love for whom you strive. I, the sole heir of all Damascus land, for this revenge myself and kingdom give. If by this price my will I cannot gain, nature gives beauty, fortune, wealth in vain. But thee, vain gift, vain beauty, thee I scorn. I hate the kingdom which I have to give. I hate myself, and rue that I was born. Only in hope of sweet revenge I live. Thus raging with fell ire, she gan return from that bare shore in haste, and homeward drive. And as true witness of her frantic ire, her locks waved loose, face shone, eyes sparkled fire. When she came home, she called with outcries shrill, a thousand devils in limbo deep that won. Black clouds the skies with horrid darkness fill, and pale for dread became the eclipsed sun. The whirlwind blustered big on every hill, and hell to roar under her feet begun. You might have heard how through the palace wide some spirits howled, some barked, some hissed, some cried. A shadow blacker than the mirkest night environed all the place with darkness sad, wherein a firebrand gave a dreadful light, kindled in hell by Tisiphon the mad. Vanished the shade, the sun appeared in sight. Pale were his beams, the air was nothing glad, and all the palace vanished was and gone, nor of so great a work was left one stone. As oft the clouds frame shapes of castles great amid the air that little time do last, but are dissolved by wind or Titan's heat, or like vain dreams soon made and sooner past, the palace vanished so, nor in his seat left aught but rocks and crags by kind there placed. She in her coach, which two old serpents drew, sat down, and as she used, away she flew. She broke the clouds and cleft the yielding sky, and bout her gathered tempest, storm, and wind. The lands that view the South Pole flew she by, and left those unknown countries far behind. The Straits of Hercules she passed, which lie 'twixt Spain and Afric, nor her flight inclined to north or south, but still did forward ride o'er seas and streams, till Syria's coast she spied. Now she went forward to Damascus fair, but of her country dear she fled the sight, and guided to Asphaltes lake her chair, where stood her castle. There she ends her flight, and from her damsels far she made repair to a deep vault, far from resort and light, wherein sad thoughts a thousand doubts she cast, till grief and shame to wrath gave place at last. "I will not hence," quoth she, "till Egypt's lord and aid of Zion's king his host shall move. Then will I use all helps that charms afford, and change my shape or sex, if so behove. Well can I handle bow or lance or sword. The worthies all will aid me for my love. I seek revenge, and to obtain the same, farewell, regard of honor, farewell, shame. Nor let mine uncle and protector me reprove for this. He most deserves the blame. My heart and sex, that weak and tender be, he bent to deeds that maidens ill became. His niece a wandering damsel first made he. He spurred my youth, and I cast off my shame. His be the fault, if aught gainst mine estate I did for love, or shall commit for hate." This said, her knights, her ladies, pages, squires, she all assembleth, and for journey fit, in such fair arms and vestures them attires, as showed her wealth, and well declared her wit, and forward marched, full of strange desires, nor rested she by day or night one whit, till she came there, where all the eastern bands, their kings and princes, lay on Gaza's sands. End of Part 2 of Book 16.